Don't turn your back on Paul J. Bierman. He has a mild manner, a salt-and-pepper beard, and blends nicely into the halls of the prestigious Applied Physics Laboratory of Johns Hopkins University. But all those chemists and scientists working on satellite parts and robotic components would be wise to remember. Paul Bierman knows how to sharpen a plastic toothbrush into a knife. He can turn a cheap plastic razor into a shiv. Prisoners can be very inventive when it comes to making weapons out of the few personal care items they're allowed to have. Paul Bierman has been working under a contract from the Justice Department to figure out ways to thwart such cell block ingenuity. He met us in front of a case that held plastic mock-ups of satellites, polymer simulations of human organs and muscles, and toothbrushes and razors.
So the standard toothbrush looks innocent enough until somebody finds a rough surface and sharpens the back end of it. Don't hurt yourself, but go ahead, feel how sharp it can get.
Oh, this'll do the job.
Yeah. That's sufficient to reach your heart, go through the eye into the brain, or penetrate your neck. Basically, you can take this thing.
Oh my.
And go
the
right
heart
through.
The heart would be underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing they do is they take this and they will heat it. They can either reshape it or they can take a scrap of metal they get and embed it into it. It can be a spike. It can be a strip of metal along the edge, which they can sharpen, or they can extract the razor blade out of a razor.
Yeah.
One or two of these along the side, and you've got a really nasty slashing weapon. So what we need to do is figure out, can we do something with these materials that make it so they can no longer modify them, either to make it a weapon itself, or to take this material and be able to embed other materials into it.
You need to make a toothbrush that can't be
melted,
yeah.
And we did that. Number one, we made it flexible, okay?
Oh, it absolutely is flexible, yeah.
Right, but it's still stiff enough to brush
it. Forgive me, I'm going to stab it into your pectoral.
Sure.
But then it just bounces off.
Even if you can sharpen it,
yeah.
And it took a long time to do this, it really can't hurt you. It's still stiff enough to brush your teeth with.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was an engineering game back and forth, and you'll see we actually have a reinforcement in there. And the reinforcement...
So you give it enough tension so that you can...
brush effectively.
Reach your bicuspids or whatever you have to.
But that reinforcement itself had to be chosen so that if you extracted it, it wasn't a weapon. So we've made it more flexible, number one. Number two, if you attempt to put a point on it, it's more like sharpening an eraser. And then the third thing is we picked a material, and this is where we get into a little bit of chemistry, that is what's known as a thermosetting resin. Thermoplastic means once you heat it up sufficiently, it softens, you can move it around. When you cool it down, it goes back to the way it was. It's hard.
Is that toothbrush much more expensive than a conventionally available toothbrush?
These materials, in and of themselves, the raw materials are somewhere in, you know, 1.5-2 times as expensive. But it's a volume thing. It depends on how much.
I mean, you can't be responsible for every aspect of it, but... And the numbers are just... I'm making them up as what seems approximate mm-hmm. to me from prison stories we've done. But if you're talking about a prison, for example, where they might have 25,000 people, inmates, moving through of a given year, it's one thing to have a toothbrush cost $3. It's another thing to have them cost $650.
Right. Except when you add up what one injury costs you. And we're talking tens of thousands of dollars. Because you now have to, A, take care of the inmate. B, you have to assign one or more corrections officers to get them to a medical facility if it's outside what you can do inside. If it's a corrections officer, then you've got all the issues associated with them being injured. And unfortunately, some of these injuries are very horrific,
if not
fatal. So it may be that these are most useful only in the highest security facilities or in selected wings of a facility. The other thing we don't know, and that's what's so fun about materials engineering, is what the next guy that I hand this idea to, that we license the technology, and they go, oh, I've got a better way to do it. And they take this and turn around and find a way to make it just the same price as the original.
Mr. Bierman hopes manufacturers will be interested in making floppy-handled toothbrushes and find ways to bring down the price. Or maybe his fellow engineers will be inspired to come up with new uses for his materials. Paul Bierman then took us into a large workroom filled with rolls of plastic and a polymer skeleton who did not, let's just put it this way, look as if he needed a shave. Mr. Bierman still picked up a razor.
The razor we designed, we did the same thing with the handle. We changed the material on it. Okay, it's flexible. This one's built thick enough that it doesn't have to have internal reinforcement. We did a traditional shape one that we did put the other reinforcement in. the head on here is new materials that can't be melted, but they have to be remain stiff so they can hold the blade effectively. And the blades themselves are actually the ones that are produced commercially, but they've been modified. The problem with the traditional razor blades, the way that head is constructed, if you want to grab that razor, if you take the standard thermoplastic razor system, it's two pieces that are put together using either ultrasonic or thermal welding. If you look in here, we've got a series of lines cut into this. They're slots cut into the blades.
Yeah.
That's how we modified these blades. It comes up to within about 50 thousandths of the front edge of the blade. We used a technique called EDM. Yeah, I just got to get one of them out of here. The way these blades are designed is that instead of just putting them over the four posts in there, we're going to literally bond the length of it inside to the polymer. Mm-hmm. Now when you try and pop it apart, you're going to have to peel the metal away from the plastic.
Oh, and that's harder, particularly.
And because we put these slots in here, it'll peel off in little pieces.
Paul Bierman is a materials engineer in a scholarly institution, but his time researching ways to defang some of the facets of prison life has left him with a grudging admiration for the desperate ingenuity of inmates with time on their hands and fear and violence in their hearts. His research means that he has to think like an inmate. That's changed his view of the world.
I will admit, I walk into an average drugstore or grocery store, and I don't look at things the same way most people do. You know, and when I see stuff, I frequently be, gee, what could I make out of that? How could I do it? If we get this to go out in the system, hopefully it'll save some lives.
Paul Bierman of the Applied Physics Lab at Johns Hopkins University. And to see video of me being jabbed with a sharpened toothbrush, come to our website, npr.org. Y'all tune in now.